Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I appreciate your time as we return to the first book of the Bible, Genesis, and chapter 12. Today, tomorrow, and on Friday, I would like to complete our journey through chapter 12. So we will be spending less time in the verses that remain. Prayerfully, I would like to draw out of the text two major lessons. We'll get to the first one today, and as we begin, let me read Genesis 12, verses 9 through 20. As you turn in your Bible to Genesis 12, verse 9, I want to remind you that Abram is on the move. He has obediently followed God into the land of Canaan, and then down through the land. At verse 8, we have left him and his family and entourage between Bethel and Ai. And Abram has been calling upon the name of the Lord, having built an altar there to God. With that as background, verse 9 continues the true story. Abram journeyed on, continuing toward the Negev. Now there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. It came about, when he came near to Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, "See now, I know that you are a beautiful woman, and when the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say that you are my sister, so that it may go well with me because of you, and that I may live on account of you." It came about when Abram came into Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Therefore, he treated Abram well for her sake, and gave him sheep and oxen and donkeys, and male and female servants and female donkeys and camels. But the Lord struck Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Then Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She is my sister,' so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they escorted Abram away with his wife and all that belonged to him. Genesis 12, verses 9 through 20. And the first lesson is this. Abram, while a man of faith, still failed. Let me repeat that. Abram, while a man of faith, still failed. This passage highlights one of Abraham's failures. Bluntly, Abram is a liar. He's a liar. Verse 13, "Say that you are my sister." That is a lie. Oh, you say, it is a half-truth. As we have already learned, Sarai was the half-sister of Abram. Yes, she was. But that is not how Abram and Sarai mean it. And so this half-truth actually becomes worse than a lie, as is evidenced by what God does. In a moment, I want to point out a few aspects of Abram's failure to his sin. But first, let me ask and answer a question. Why is this story in the Bible? I mean, why did God see fit to include it? This sort of takes the shine off of Abram. Thus far, we have been reading about him and his faith. At the end of Genesis chapter 11, and thus far in chapter 12, he's been like a hero to us. We have read what the New Testament book of Hebrews says about him, and that's been glowing. And yet here, Abram disappoints us. He lets us down. Instead of exercising even more faith in God, Abram fails God. And in a sense, he fails our expectations of him. So why are we exposed to the failure? My answer is that God includes this episode in Abram and Sarai's life for a reason. The Lord wants us to know there is only one hero in Scripture, and he is God. Are you familiar with a hagiography? A hagiography is a biography that treats its subject with undue reverence. And maybe you enjoy reading biographies, as do I. Isn't it true that every so often a writer has such a high view of the person he or she is writing about that we get the sense the writer has lost all objectivity? It is page after page of how wonderful the subject is, and we are left to wonder if that person had even one flaw. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible includes no hagiographies of any man or woman. The Bible tells it like it is. The Bible reveals the sins, the weaknesses, and the failures of all of the Bible's personalities, whom we consider to be heroes of the faith. God's Word gives us a sharply honest assessment of all men and women, sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, including Abraham and Sarah. It is true of the Bible. It has always been true. It is and will forever be true. There is only one who is worthy of our reverential worship, and he is God. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Scripture points us to him and him alone. God and God alone is fit to take this universe's throne. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. In the words of God himself in Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 2, I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another. Isaiah 42, verse 8. There is a temptation running rampant through 21st century Christianity, driven by social media, and that is that we mark some servant of God a hero, a heroine, and we begin to think they can do no wrong, say no wrong, and so we lift them up on a platform of popularity. We buy all their books and watch every video their ministry produces. We tell all our friends about this person we so admire. We want to be him or be her. And then the hagiography is written and the cult of personality grows, and we end up bitterly disappointed when this man or this woman, the object of our affections, fails. Friends, it is crucial that we learn our lesson well. Only God is worthy of our glory, our honor, and our worship. No man, no woman, no one else is like him. Oh, can I say it? Yes, I can. Not even Abraham. And certainly not whoever is your favorite man or woman of God today. Now, that is not to say we cannot admire another Christian. That is not to say we cannot watch their lives and doctrine closely and think, I can learn from this individual. The Spirit of God certainly encourages us to learn from Abraham. But what the Lord is abundantly clear about is this. Do not elevate any person into the throne room of your heart. Only God belongs there. This episode in Abram's life is here because God wants us to know that Abram, while a man who has faith in God, is still a man who failed God. And this again highlights for us there is only one hero in Scripture, and he is the Lord. Well, this failure, this sin manifests itself as a lie. But the roots of the sin are elsewhere. The roots of Abram's sin was in his faithlessness. Go back with me to the text, Genesis 12, verse 10. Now there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. Where did Abram get the idea that he should set off for Egypt just because there was a famine in Canaan? Notice, God did not tell Abram to go to Egypt. There was no command given by God to set off for Egypt. Abram decides this of his own accord, and it was a disastrous decision. Thus far, Abram has had faith in God, and the living God has been faithful to him. But now Abram is faithless. Instead of trusting the Lord to provide for him and his family and people and animals, even amidst a famine, Abram takes matters into his own hands and feet and saddles everyone up, marching further south, right out of the promised land of Canaan, and into the worldly and godless territory of the Egyptians. In the Bible, Egypt is a picture of the sinful world, and this is very true right here in Genesis chapter 12. Instead of staying put where God had brought him, instead of staying faithful to the promise and the God of promise, Abram decides otherwise. The Lord did not say, "Go to Egypt," and nevertheless off he went. And please also note, God never spoke to, nor did he appear to Abram while he was down in Egypt. We'll talk more about this tomorrow, but we can relate to Abram, can't we? So many of us have faith in God, and yet we fail him. We sin. We do not do what he wants us to do. We do what we want to do. We are faithless. Let us repent before God and return to him now, expressing sorrow for our sin. Join us next time for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.